The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, the church's liturgical year concludes with this Feast of Christ the King, instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925, so nearly 100 years ago, to celebrate the Jubilee year and the 1600th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, where we received the Nicene Creed. This feast was established and proclaimed by the Pope to proclaim the sovereignty of Christ and the Church over all forms of government, and to remind us of the fidelity and loyalty we owe to Christ, who by his incarnation and death on the cross has made us both adopted children of God and future citizens and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. This feast was also meant to be a reminder to the totalitarian governments of Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin that Jesus Christ is the only sovereign king. We declare our loyalty to him by the quality of our Christian commitment, expressed in our serving of others with sacrificial and forgiving love, and by our solidarity with the poor. Today we honor Christ as King of the universe and King of our hearts by allowing him to take control of our lives and reign in our hearts. The cross is his throne, and the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, his rule of law. His citizens need only obey one major law: love God with all your being, and love others as I have loved you. His love is selfless, compassionate, forgiving, and unconditional. In the first reading today, the apocalyptic book of Daniel became popular during a bitter persecution of the Jews in the 2nd century BC. Under the Greeks. We read about them in the last week of the daily readings. It became a popular book in order to build up the faith of the Jewish people. It itself was written in the 6th century BC while they were in exile in Babylon, and expresses the Jewish understanding of the kingship of God and that of the promised Messiah. It describes the mysterious Son of Man, with whom Jesus would later identify himself, as coming on the clouds, glorified by God, and given the dominion that will last forever. He would be the King of kings and the Lord of glory, and his kingdom would last forever. The New Testament proves that Jesus is this long-awaited King of the Jews. The second reading, the New Testament book of Revelation, has the same apocalyptic character. Its readers, too, were being persecuted. The author wanted to build up their faith. Christ will come amid the clouds as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last of all things. Jesus has become our King by freeing us from our sins and by his blood, and by blessing all of us to be priests for his God and Father, all because he loves us. In the Gospel, they accused him for claiming to be God, and they wanted him to die by the most shameful and painful death. They brought Jesus before Pilate and accused him of causing sedition, We found this man inciting our people to revolt, opposing payment to the tribute of Caesar, and claiming to be Christ, a king. So Pilate questions Jesus about his kingship. Jesus admits that he is a king, but declares that his kingdom is not of this world. Neither his present nor his future reign operates according to the world's understanding of power and dominance. Jesus' kingdom, the reign of God, is based on the Beatitudes and his rule through loving service, and it is unlike any other earthly authority. He has come to bear witness to the truth about a larger and eternal kingdom. Gerald Doring of the St. Louis University Center for Liturgy says, "The kingdom of God is a space. It exists in every home where parents and children love each other. It exists in every region and country that cares for its weak and vulnerable. It exists in every parish that reaches out to those in need. The kingdom of God is a time. It happens whenever someone feeds a hungry person, or shelters a homeless person, or shows care to a neglected person. It happens whenever we overturn an unjust law, or correct an injustice, or avoid a war. It happens whenever people join in the struggle to erase ignorance or to pass on the faith." He continues, "The kingdom of God is in the past, in the life and work of Jesus of Nazareth. The kingdom of God is in the present, in the work of the church and in the efforts of many others to create a world of goodness and justice. The kingdom of God is in the future, reaching its completion in the age to come. It is already and not yet complete. The kingdom of God is a condition. Its symptoms are love, justice, and peace. Jesus Christ is King of our kingdom. We pray today that God may free all the world to rejoice in his peace, to glory in his justice, to live in his love. The one who seeks to live in Christ's kingdom is the one who says, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.' It is a simple question. What does Jesus, my King, want me to do or say in this situation? He will give us the right words to say to the people we meet, words that will make us his true ambassadors of the kingdom." Now, before we pray the creed, the Nicene Creed, we're going to do something very special today. So I'd like you to take a hymnal out of the pocket in front of you. Our director of music, David, wrote a nice article about this in the bulletin this week. These beautiful hymnals have a 10-year life, so take care of them. They last for 10 years, and they will pay for themselves with what we were spending on 7 years of the throwaway books. So, and they're so beautiful and noble, aren't they? So hold them up in the air. Okay. "My brothers and sisters, these hymnals will receive a special blessing in order to indicate that they are to be set aside exclusively for divine worship. Together, then, let us pray that God will also strengthen us by his blessing. Let us ask that he who alone is holy may make us holy and worthy, so that we may celebrate the liturgy with reverence and devotion." Let us pray. Lord God of glory, your church on earth joins with the choirs of heaven in giving you thanks and praise. As we gather to worship you in wonder and awe, may the songs on our lips echo the music that swells in our hearts. Bless us as we use these hymnals, and grant that we may glorify and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.